Hi there. Okay, to start off, as Derek said, we're continuing the series about facing your giants, and tonight's Faith Wounds. So we're carrying on with the story of David, and we're in 1 Samuel 27. Now, you feels free to look it up in the pew Bibles, but as usual, I'm using the New Living Translation, so hence why it's up on the screen. So 1 Samuel 27, David among the Philistines. But David kept thinking to himself, someday Saul is going to get me. The best thing I can do is escape to the Philistines. Then Saul will stop hunting for me in Israelite territory, and I will finally be safe. So David took his 600 men and went over and joined Achish, son of Maoch, the king of Gath. David and his men and their families settled there with Achish at Gath. David brought his two wives along with him. I don't even know how to pronounce that, from Jezreel, and Abigail, Nabal's widow from Carmel. Word soon reached Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he stopped hunting for him. One day David said to Achish, if it is all right with you, we would rather live in one of the country towns instead of here in the royal city. So Achish said, gave him the town of Ziklag, which still belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. And they lived there among the Philistines for a year and 4 months. David and his men spent their time raiding the Jeshurites and the Girzites and the Amalekites, people who had lived near Shur, towards the land of Egypt since ancient times. David did not leave one person alive in the villages he attacked. He took the sheep, goats, cattle, donkey, camels, and clothing before returning home to see King Achish. Where did you make your raid today? Achish would ask. And David would reply, against the south of Judah, the Jerahmeelites and the Kenites. No one was left alive to come to Gath to tell where he had really been. This happened again and again while he was living among the Philistines. Achish believed David and thought to himself, by now the people of Israel must hate him bitterly. Now he will have to stay here and serve me forever. So apart from the great names that are in that passage, at this point, David has been running from Saul from some time. So since chapter 18, Saul's been trying to kill David. And David's just not in a great place. He's tired, he's weary, he's worried for his family's safety. He's just not having a great time. He's just sort of got away from Saul in the cave when Saul was trying to kill him. And he's just managed to sort of better Saul. He came out on top, but he just managed to get away from Saul. And he's getting tired now. And he's starting to forget the revelations that he's had in the previous chapter. If you have a look at 1 Samuel 26, verse 10, it says, surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age, or in battle. So this is what David's just proclaimed in chapter 26, that he knows that God will strike Saul down. But he seems to have forgotten this in this passage in 1 Samuel 27. So much so that he goes and runs and lives with the enemies that they've been fighting against for over a year. He's having to lie that he's killing his own people. And it's pretty much gone from bad to worse for him. So can you relate? What in your life is really making you feel so worn out that you can't go on? Is it work? Is it job? Is it a friendship, a relationship? Is it church? I get so frustrated with work sometimes that I just can't cope. I've been self-employed now for 9 years. And there's times that it just seems like it's too much for me. I can't handle it. There's a lot of responsibility that's involved with it. And it's just, the burden can be crazy. I can't pass it on to anybody else. It's just, there's so much. And sometimes when I feel that it's too much for me, I go online and I hunt for jobs. I don't know how many times I've been on the Arcadia website looking for managerial positions in one of their clothing shops. And I actually go and I find a position, I fill out the application form and I save it. And the thing that stops me from sending it is I never have my CV to hand on file to post it. So far, it's worked out all right. I've never had to send it off, or I've never felt that I've needed to. But sometimes, just the sheer frustration that I get from having to deal with another deadline, another bill, another awkward customer, another day in the shop on my own, because a lot of the time I am in the shop on my own, it's sometimes it's just too much. It's just overwhelming. So I try to escape. So I can relate. You know, David's tired, he's weary. There's a burden on him to look after these 600 soldiers and their family. That's a huge burden. I'm sure we could all relate to David's the pressure that David's feeling at this point. He's just tired and he's just looking for a way out. So where did David go wrong? Where did he lose his rhythm, and where did his faith where did his faith wounds come from? Well, the chapter of this is in the book is called Goliath and his slump gun. Now, it took me about a week to work out what a slump gun was until I actually thought, what's a slump? And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So a slump is to sit, lean, or fall heavily and limply, to plummet, to sink, or to drop. Basically, a slump is having no energy to move at all, no energy to move forward, to keep yourself upright or to move. A slump is nothing. You've just had enough and it's just dropped. And it's dropped heavily. You know, it is just a complete exhaustion, you know. So that's a slump. So this Goliath that's chasing David has a slump gun and it's aimed right at his heart. I'm quite proud of my little doodle. So he's got his sights on David's heart. Now the thing with the slump gun is that it doesn't fire bullets or anything like that. It fires sadness. And at your time, when you're feeling at your lowest, that sadness can penetrate and dig really deep in and make massive wounds. David was done in. There's times when that's how I feel. I just feel the utter sadness of just being so worn out, of having no energy and just don't know where to go from one day to the next, that, you know, I decide that working in Lidl's would be better than running my own business. Now, I'm not sort of mocking anybody sort of working in Lidl's or anything like that. You know, like, I seriously do look at it and I'm like, well, if I had that job, because, you know, like, as I say, I've ran my own business for 9 years now, so I could probably go for a managerial position. When they advertise the jobs, they're quite well paid, so, you know, I'd be able to afford a holiday every year, I'd have time off, you know, I could take time off, that kind of thing. So when I'm sitting there and I'm just focused on the sadness that's in my life because it just seems too much, anything else becomes a better option. Despite the fact that, you know, I do love my work, the sadness can just hit so precisely that you feel that there's no other option than just to get out. So what does David do? David gives up and he's had enough. He's just had enough. If you look at the very first verse of that chapter, David's just decided that Saul's going to get him. There's nothing else to it. Saul's going to get him. It doesn't matter what he thought in chapter 26, that Saul was that the Lord was going to take Saul out eventually, or he'd die of old age. But David has just had enough. Saul's going to get him one day, and that's it. There's nothing else he can do. He just needs to run. David just gives up. He's had enough. He can't get it out of his head that Saul's hot on his heels. So he gives up, he got up, he goes and he lives with his enemies. He goes and lives with the Philistines. You know, the people that were fighting the armies. He killed their big Goliath. You know, he's now going and living with the Philistines. He's given up that much. He's decided he's better off than with his own people, with his enemies. He's just had enough. And he's sold out. He strikes a deal with Achish to become his servant. So he's going out and he's raiding and he's lying and he's saying that he's hitting his own people. And he doesn't want to live in the city, the royal city, because he's saying, you know, because your servant shouldn't be living in the royal city. So he goes and lives in one of the villages outside. But it's so he can hide the fact that he's going and hunting his enemies, not his own people, not the Israelites. He's going and he's hunting and killing the people that could come back to Achish and tell him what he's actually doing. So he's lying. He's sold out completely to and everything. He's doing the exact opposite. And there's the thing, from what I was studying, that they were, a lot of the commentaries are saying that, you know, the bad thing here is that he's doing, there's nothing that is just, all the killing that he's doing is not even justified from God. You know, he hasn't been told by God to go and do this, but he's just doing, you know, he's just doing everything and anything that he can to sort of be elsewhere. He's just completely lost. David's not in a good headspace. So how do you handle your slumps? When all hope is gone, what do? Do you go to the pub? Do you go to the spa? Do you go to the beach? I'm not saying these things don't work, but if you're really in a slump, do these things fix the problem? I know I love, sort of, we've taken my mum to, you know, spa treatments as a treat and stuff like that, and it's a nice treat. You come out, you feel refreshed. You know, at the end of a hard week, sometimes just going to the pub and hanging out with my friends is the best way to sort of just unwind a bit and have a laugh and, you know, just hang out with my friends and stuff. And the beach, when my mum and dad had a caravan down in Dunbar, I would love going there for the weekend and just feel so relaxed, just sitting. Even when the weather was rotten, the rain hitting on the roof of the caravan just felt like it was just the best sound ever while we were snuggled up under our duvets watching the TV. These things are great. These things are amazing. You know, hanging out with your friends, going for a spa treatment. But do they fix the slump? I know when I'm in a slump for a week, you know, if I'm just having the worst week, no spa treatment, no weekend at the beach, no going to the pub with my friends and hanging out is going to fix that slump. So how do you handle your slumps? What do? David got out, but in the end, it just being another year in another slump. By consulting himself, by sitting there at 1 Samuel and saying to himself, Saul's going to get me. If I hang around here, Saul's going to get me and I'm going to die. So I'm going to leave home territory and I'm going to go and live with my enemies. David just gave up. He didn't deal with his slump in the best way. He consulted himself. He thought to himself, what can I do? And he thought running was the only way to get out of it. So what should we do? What should we do when we're in a slump that's just not going to be sorted by a spa treatment or a day at the beach? Matthew 11, verse 28 says, Then Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. When you're having that slump, that ultimate slump, that rotten week, day, month, year, when you just think that you can't go on anymore, Jesus says, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I can't think of a better way to get out of your slump than to go and rest with Jesus. In the book, in page 64, it says, He knows better. In brighter seasons and healthier moments, David modeled heaven's therapy for tough days. The first time he faced the Philistines in the wilderness, David inquired of the Lord. When he felt small against his enemy, David inquired of the Lord. When attacked by the Amalekites, David inquired of the Lord. Puzzled about what to do after the death of Saul, David inquired of the Lord. When crowned as king and pursued by the Philistines, David inquired of the Lord. There's a theme, are you getting it? David defeated them, yet they mounted another attack, so David inquired of the Lord. David kept God's number on speed dial. Confused, David talked to God. Challenged, he talked to God. Afraid, he talked to God. Most of the time, but not this time. On this occasion, David talks to himself. He doesn't even seek the counsel of his advisors. We've got the perfect tough day treatment here. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Even the thought of Jesus saying that to me, and I will give you rest, just brings peace to my heart. I can't describe it. It's just a really weird thing to be thinking, you know, if you're imagining Jesus saying that to you, my heart just sits there and is like, it just breathes, it stops, it feels like there's a release. But while I've been thinking about this chapter, the thing that keeps coming to my head is, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, we were doing a discipleship study. We were looking at the life shapes, another book. I can't remember even who wrote it. The Passionate Church. And there's one of the life shapes on it, the semicircle, and it's all about the rhythm that you have between your work and your abiding. Between one side of it being rest and one side of it being work. And I think the problem that we have, and I know I have, is that I always focus on the work side of it. I always start with work. The thing that really changed my mind was a while ago, John was talking about, as in John Young, John was talking about how the start of the week really should be our Sunday, because we're spending that time, it's a day of rest. We're spending that time with God. We're spending that time hearing what God has to say to us. We're spending that time in his presence. We're resting, we're abiding, we're looking to God. So Sunday, no matter what you think, should be the start of your week, because your week should start from rest. Your week should start from abiding with God. It's a rhythm that you should get into, this swinging back and forward. It should be a daily rhythm, a weekly rhythm, a monthly rhythm. And if your week's or if your day is really bad, maybe an hourly rhythm, the first thing that you should do should be abiding with God. Now, I'll put my hand up and say definitely, I find this hard. I am not a morning person. I'm not kind of a Sunday person. Evening worship, sort of what I can manage. I'll try to go to the morning service, but I'll always try to do a Sunday service because I love coming to church and spending that time with God. So I'm not a morning person. I don't do it very well. I wish I was a morning person. I wish I could get up and start my day with prayer and study, but I'm more of the alarm goes off at 7:30 and I'll hit it 20 times to hit snooze and then I'll get up and run out and go to work. But what I've found is that in the 40-minute drive that I have to go to work is that I've made myself a list, a playlist on Spotify of all the songs that I love from evening worship. All the new ones that we're learning, all the ones that I've known for years, all that. I've got about 25 songs on it, so it's not a massive playlist. And because it's because I'm too cheap to buy the premier sort of subscription, it always comes in on shuffle, so I never know what songs I'm going to be hearing. But I'll always try and listen to that on my way into work. And I'll use that 40 minutes to pray and to listen to some worship music. Now, a while back, I wouldn't even have said that I would have listened to worship music. I'm not a huge fan of it. But because I love the songs, I can kind of put up with them long enough in a 40-minute drive. So the worship music works really well for me. I really feel the days that I do it, I've not done it for about a fortnight now, and I can say, having reflected on it, I can notice a massive difference in my days when I'm not going in and abiding with God when I'm driving into work. I've been listening to an audiobook, so I've been a bit enjoying that. But the thing is that I have noticed the difference that is in my days when I'm sitting in the car and I'm listening to my favourite songs and I'm belting my heart out. I'd hate to think what anybody thinks of me when I pull up at the traffic lights and I think I'm this rock star diva rocking away in my wee golden mom mobile. I'm not. But it just totally lifts my heart. And from that 40-minute drive, those songs are normally in my head for the rest of the day. And it doesn't matter what phone calls come in, what bills come in, anything that happens, those songs are in my heart and I'm just singing to God for the rest of the day. And I have an amazing day. That abiding time works for me. Now, it may not work for you, that works for me. I know there's some people that really enjoy getting up early and having a Bible study and a prayer time. As I say, I'd rather hit the snooze button 20 times before I have to fall out my bed and run out the door. But whatever works for you, try and find that rhythm. Try and find that time where you'll start your day abiding and resting and speaking to God. Because you'll find that when you do go into work, it'll feel so much better. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't know how many times in a week I can feel like I'm burdened. You know, relationships, jobs, friendships, you know, even just going and visiting our friend at the weekend. You know, my best friend, and I came away feeling a little bit burdened by it. You know, friendships, relationships, jobs, work, the church can all feel like a burden. But if we put that aside and come to Jesus, he can give us rest. So this week I've got a challenge for you. Find out how you can abide with God, how you can rest with God, how you can spend time with God. Don't be like David and give up. Don't feel like David and throw it in. Don't be like David and get out. Don't be like David and sell out. God's got enough grace and enough strength to get you through anything. You don't know what that finishing line is that you're aiming for. You may not even see it. But there's a finishing line that God's got for you, and whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's, you know, a job or a bit of work or, you know, something that you're aiming for, whatever that finish line is that you're aiming for, God's got enough grace and enough strength to carry you through to that finishing line. So don't feel that it's when something's tiring you out that you just have to give up. So the challenge this week. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. So the challenge this week, be quick to pray. Get your rhythm of abiding and being with God in place and practice it. It's the only way that I've managed to do it. It was something that I, when we were doing the study on the life shapes, this whole abiding and working thing, I was really, really, really all about the work. I wasn't so good on the abiding. But when you practice, trust me, it gets easier. Seek healthy counsel. David had gone to people for advice in the past. And when that slump gun hit him, he could have used a friend to counsel him and pray with him. So start to identify these people within your lives. If you need them, go and speak to them. If you're finding speaking to God hard, go and speak to that healthy counsel. And I've spelt counsel wrong. Go and speak to that healthy counsel. Go and speak to that person that can give you good advice, can give you solid advice, that can pray with you, that can tell you what you need to do, what you need to stop doing. Somebody that's not just going to console you, but somebody that's going to direct you as well. Every week at evening worship, we offer you prayer. There's someone around that is willing to pray with you. So if you can't identify somebody from your life that's going to be able to pray with you, we give you that opportunity at evening worship. So don't feel that when we're offering you, it's not for you. If you've even just had one bad hour in the previous week, that's really just sitting on your mind, there's a group of people here that are willing to pray with you. And if you don't know who they are, anybody that MCs, anybody that talks up the front, anybody that does the worship, they will pray with you, or they will tell you who you can get prayer with. So feel free to use it. Don't be scared. We're here. We're willing. We offer you prayer every week. We take advantage of it ourselves. I know I have. I've used it loads. So feel free to use it as well if you can't identify those people within your lives. And don't feel that you have to smile and just get on with it. And finally, don't give up. As I was saying, God's got so much grace to give you, so much strength to give you, that you don't have to rely on your own strength, your own stamina. If we were relying on our own strength, we'd have been burnt out years ago. Don't give up. Don't feel that that's your only option. Don't be like David. Don't forget the things that have happened in the past where you've seen God working in your life. Don't feel that they don't count anymore. This week, every morning, wake up and thank God for something. If that's the only thing that you can manage in the morning, think of something amazing that God has done for you. And whether that's just the fact that you've managed to get your alarm on time and get out of bed, thank God for that. I think that's amazing. I know I struggle with that. But think of something every day that you can thank God for. I've tried to sort of like be writing a diary every morning, and it just doesn't work. I just forget that it's in my bag. But every day I've been trying to get up and think of at least one or two things that I can thank God for from the previous day. Something, whether it's just the fact that, you know, there was a clear road into work, that my mum and dad were there to just sort of come in and say hi, that, you know, I had a text message from a friend that was just a really nice text message. Just something that you can thank God for every day, because if you start to look at all the positives that are happening from the previous day, you're going to remember all the stuff that God's been doing for you. So don't give up. Keep thanking God. Keep looking to him. Keep trying to abide with him. And don't be like David and think that your only option is to get up, get out, and sell out. That's never the option. Let's pray and we'll go into the time of worship. Father God, I thank you that you're always there for us. You're just waiting for us to come to you. You're never going to push us. You're never going to force us to come to you. But Lord, let us never forget that you're always there for us. You're always at the end of the telephone if we want to call and chat. You're always there, Lord. We can pick up your word anytime and hear what you have to say. We can sit and listen to some praise music and just love being in your presence, Lord. So I thank you that you're always there for us. You'll never let us down. And I thank you that we can come to you and give you our burdens, and you will give us rest. Lord, when we get to the point of feeling that we just want to give up, that it's too much for us, put people in our lives that are going to be that healthy counsel, that healthy support, and when we're really in that time of need. And if there's anything that we need prayer for, Lord, let us find the people that will pray for us. Let us find the people that will help build our strength back up, that will remind us of your power, Lord. So I thank you that you're there for us. I thank you that you're willing to pour out your grace on us continually over and over again, Lord, that you will be our strength. I love you, Lord. You are my strength.